Last topic, potential for essay. We didn't really talk and as much about this as I would have liked to have had time to do, but if it's something that you, you know, want to write about, here is another topic for you to do some research if you would like to write on this particular topic, if it's of interest to you, and that's the differences in the viewpoints of the two great African-American leaders of the day, W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington. Washington was probably the most well-known African-American figure at the time. He had been a slave. His viewpoint on what needed to happen for black Americans at this particular time was quite 180 degrees removed from what Du Bois thought. Washington is about the focus on industrial education with his basically building and leading the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, which was engaged in basically teaching black men and women industrial skills and some agricultural things as well to improve the situation for farmers as well, but in this increasing industrial age, trying to basically train black Americans in various trade skills that would help them be more successful in a changing economy. Washington was all about the economic improvement of black Americans. He thought that needed to come first. He thought that was more important than the civil and political rights. And that caused a lot of tension with Washington, toward Washington, by a lot of other prominent black leaders, Du Bois being most significant, who thought he was too accommodative of white Americans. There's the famous thing called the Atlanta Compromise that the speech that Washington gave, where effectively he says that black Americans should focus on their economic well-being first, and should almost, in the minds of many black Americans, it was as if he was saying, be accepting of the separation of whites and blacks predominantly in the South, and focus on, again, improving one's economic condition and not be so concerned with the civil and political rights that were being denied blacks at that particular time. Those will come later in Washington's from Washington's point of view. And he was viewed, therefore, as giving in a lot of ways to the segregationist point of view and the Jim Crow laws. And he was getting a lot of support from rich industrialists. Carnegie was a huge supporter of the Tuskegee Institute. So I think in some people's minds there was this almost, giving in, acceptance in the name of receiving all of this support from white America in terms of building the Tuskegee Institute into a bigger and bigger facility for educational training, that he was in many ways kind of giving in to what white Americans wanted black Americans to do, which was to just work and not have civil and political rights. Du Bois was raised in the North. He was highly educated, again, Harvard educated for one of his degrees, either master's or doctorate, I forget which. You can look that up. And he believed that it was time now for civil and political rights, and accused Washington of being far too willing to accept the plight that black Americans were in terms of the long night of segregation, racial segregation that had been imposed upon them in many places in America, but obviously predominantly in the South. Du Bois talked of the talented tenth. In other words, this kind of the best and the brightest, the most intellectual, the top 10% of African Americans of the country who could show white America that they could do so many other things than just be industrial workers. And through their advancement, they would help uplift the entire race into more positions of authority, whether that be in the business world, the working world, the political world, whatever realm it was that you wanted to speak of, if Black Americans were given the chance and the talented 10th could lead Black Americans out of that darkness of racial segregation, that they could uplift an entire race of people. And political and civil rights were at the forefront of that. They had to come, and they had to come now in Du Bois's mind. And, of course, he is the leader of something called the Niagara Movement, and then ultimately one of the founding members of the NAACP, the National Advancement National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. So they're very different in their perspectives about what should be the call for Black Americans at this particular time in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And there's a lot of similarities between Dr. King and Malcolm X when you get into the 1960s in terms of what those two men are calling for in the process by which rights would be attained for Black Americans in the 1950s and 60s. So two very interesting men, and I'll put some links to some things on the website for you to learn a little bit more if that's an essay topic that interests you.